Jayam Vishnupad Paramhamsa Sri Vajrakacharya Astotara Sat Shishu Bharata Divine Grace AC Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jayam Vishnupad Paramhamsa Sri Vajrakacharya Astotara Sat Shishu Bharata Divine Grace Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Ananti Bhuti Vaishnavind Ki Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Nitai Gaura Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. So this afternoon's text is from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, given translation and purpose by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, which is entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized, that's the title, text 22. Chapter 2, text 22. Is it somewhere? Oh, nothing. Okay. All right. So, please repeat. Vasamsi.
Vasamsi.
Jernani.
Jernani.
Yatha.
Yatha.
Vihaya.
Vihaya.
Navani.
Navani.
Grinanti.
Grinanti.
Naro.
Naro.
Parani,
parani,
tatha, sharirani,
sharirani,
vihaya,
vihaya,
jirnani,
jirnani,
anyani,
anyani,
sanyati,
sanyati,
navani,
navani,
dehi,
dehi,
Vasamsi jernani yata vihaya.
Vasamsi jernani yata vihaya.
Navani grinanti naro parani.
Navani grinanti naro parani.
Tata sarirani vihaya jernani.
Tata sarirani vihaya jernani.
Anyani samyati navani dehi.
Anyani samyati navani dehi.
Okay, so let's continue. Vashamsi.
Vashamsi.
Garments.
Garments.
Nir, sorry, jirnani.
Jirnani.
Old and worn out.
Old and worn out.
Yata.
Yata.
Just as.
Just as.
Vihaya.
Vihaya.
Giving up.
Navani,
Navani,
new garments,
Grihnanti,
Grihnanti,
thus accept,
Nara,
a man,
Aparani,
others, Tatha, in the same way,
Sharirani,
bodies.
Vihaya,
Vihaya,
giving up.
Jernani,
Jernani,
old and useless.
Anyani,
Anyani,
different.
Samyati,
Samyati,
verily accept.
Verily accept.
Navani,
Navani,
new sets. Dehi,
Dehi,
the embodied.
Embodied.
Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. Please repeat. As a person,
as a person
puts on new garments,
giving up old ones,
The soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. Purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Change of body by the atomic individual soul is an accepted fact. Even the modern scientists who do not believe in the existence of the soul, but at the same time cannot explain the source of energy from the heart, have to accept continuous changes of body which appear from childhood to boyhood and from boyhood to youth and again from youth to old age. From old age, the change is transferred to another body. This has already been explained in the previous verse, chapter 2, Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, text 13. Transference of the atomic individual soul to another body is made possible by the grace of a super soul. The super soul fulfills the desire of the atomic soul as one friend fulfills the desire of another. The Vedas, like the Mundaka Upanishad, as well as the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, compare the soul and the super soul to two friendly birds sitting on the same tree. One of the birds, the individual atomic soul, is eating the fruit of the tree, and the other bird, Krishna, is simply watching his friend. Of these two birds, although they are the same in quality, one is captivated by the fruits of the material tree, while the other is simply witnessing the activities of his friend. Krishna is the witnessing bird and Arjuna is the eating bird. Although they are friends, one is still the master and the other is the servant. Forgetfulness of this relationship by the atomic soul is the cause of one's changing his position from one tree to another or from one body to another. The jiva soul is struggling very hard on the tree of the material body. But as soon as he agrees to accept the other bird as the supreme spiritual master, as Arjuna agreed to do by voluntary surrender unto Krishna for instruction, the subordinate bird immediately becomes free from all lamentations. Both the Mundaka Upanishad 3.1.2 and the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 4.7 confirm this. Shamane Brike Purusho Nimagno Nishaya Suchiti Muhyamana Yustam Yada Pashyati Anyam Isham Asya Mahimanam Iti Vita Shokaha. Translation. Although the two birds are in the same tree, the eating bird is fully engrossed with anxiety and moroseness as the enjoyer of the fruits of the tree. But if in some way or other he turns his face to his friend who is the Lord and knows his glories, at once the suffering bird becomes free from all anxieties. Arjuna has now turned his face towards his eternal friend Krishna and is understanding the Bhagavad Gita from him. And thus, hearing from Krishna, he can understand the supreme glories of the Lord and be free from lamentation. Arjuna is advised herewith by the Lord not to lament for the bodily change of his old grandfather and his teacher. He should rather be happy to kill their bodies in the righteous fight so that they may be cleansed at once of all reactions from various bodily activities. One who lays down his life on the sacrificial altar or in the proper battlefield is at once cleansed of bodily reactions and promoted to a higher status of life. So there was no cause for Arjuna's lamentation. Om Gina Tibiranjasya Jnana Gina Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padatika Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamala Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sicha Sri Rupa Sagrijatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sahadvaitam Sahabadvitam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sicha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhi Vrindavaneshwari Vishabanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpat Rubyascha Kripa Sindhivya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sivasari Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simadi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatya Deshatarini Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prima Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gura Chise Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himavya Digacha Vishindaraya Tasmi Mahaprima Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So here's the text again. You don't have to repeat. Vasamsi jernani yata vihaya navani ginanti naro parani tata sariyani vihaya jernani anyani samyati navani dehi. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. As a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. So, this is Sri Krishna talking to Arjuna. Arjuna, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, was perplexed about his having to fight and kill and possibly be killed by the other warriors who had assembled in the battlefield at Kurukshetra. Krishna is preaching transcendental knowledge to Arjuna. Krishna is talking about the fact that we are not these bodies, and the process for a person that stays in the material world is they put on new garments as a baby, and the baby is actually one that's coming from a lifetime before. So they've given up old garments, put on new ones, and this is an analogy that the soul accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. Therefore, some of the babies that are here, if we talked about 30 years ago, we'd be the younger people and they'd be the older people. Because we left sooner than them, right? So we've come and grown a little older and now they're just following us. But 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, we'd be the younger ones, they'd be the older ones. So does it really matter? Does it really matter? We are not these bodies. That's what we need to understand. Srila Prabhupada stressed this wherever he preached. He says, we are not these bodies. Actually, if we think about it seriously, it's nice to know that we are not these bodies. If you get older, you'll find out how much pain the body is going to give you. And if you've been looking around, just go to a hospital. and go through the rooms where the patients, we call them patients, they are suffering people. It's very obvious because they are saddled by disease. But that's just one. There's birth. That already is difficult. Ask the women that have given birth. They know. There is death. If you see a person dying, it's not funny, to say the least. And between birth and death is old age. And some of us that are now close to old age, we see what it is like. And even if you're not old, all you have to do is observe a person who's up there. You can walk past them easily. Why? Because they're slow. Why are they slow? The body is just gotten, as they say, it is what it is. It's gotten slow. Right now, there are young people, they like to play. They're playful. When they play, what do? They run around a lot. They don't seem to get tired. I dare any of you adults to try to run as fast as they do. See if you can do it. You can't. So you don't even call yourself old, but your body's already slowed down. What to speak of that? We have Olympic athletes. They train 4 years in between each competition. And when the gun goes for track meet to start, they have to put in their very best strategies, racing against other people. So the race is over. They may win, they may not win, but take a look at what they look like. They are doubled up, over, on the floor. The person who has won is maybe because of adrenaline, they're running around saying, I won. But the rest of them, they're tired. And these were the ones that train now. We don't even train like they do. So the body, this is all evidence that the body slows down. And then, we are living in a planet that other living entities are also trying to live. The mosquito is really trying to live. It will bite you. It will suck your blood. It doesn't mean to harm you. It wants food. You are the food for the mosquito. We are supposed to be vegetarian. Yeah? Tell the potato plant that. We rip the whole potato plant off the ground just to get potatoes. That potato plant is dead. So it's like one living entity trying to live, the other living entity suffers. The other day we're thinking about is, oh, well, there may be a third world war. Well, there is a world war going on now. We just don't think about it. World war going on inside our bodies. Those people who have studied biology, they know. You breathe in, all the germs get into your body. This is the neighborhood. They get into your body. They're trying to live, but what do? They're trying to feed off what's in the body. And if they're successful, you're going to be sick. If the germs are successful, you're going to be sick. But you have other types of particles. I think they call them red blood cells, if I'm not correct. White or red blood cells that fight against this. This is happening in every person's body. This is going on. So if this is going on in the whole world, then internally, there's already a world war going on. It's been going on ever since we had bodies. It's been going on. So this third world war, that's the external one. But the internal one's been going on all the time in these bodies. These bodies, not to mention the fact that you get up in the morning, if you don't use toothpaste, you have bad breath. If you don't use antiperspirant or deodorant, your armpits don't smell good. And should I go further down? I don't think you can go there. So it's nice to know we're not these bodies, that I don't like them, to tell you the truth. So Srila Prabhupada has told us we are actually the soul, and life here in this material world, if we are interested in staying here, then Krishna says, put on new garment, you give up old ones, you start life. It grows. We are still us. Now, Srila Prabhupada said something here one time that is not on this purport. We'll get to the purport. But this is a lecture that I was listening to yesterday as I was traveling in my car, that particular lecture. And it blew me away. Srila Prabhupada was talking about the bodies, young body. And he says, I remember my body when I was young. I remember my body was when I was about 6 months old, and that already blew me away because I certainly don't remember anything when I was a baby 6 months old. But he said he could remember. So one day he was lying on his older sister's lap as a baby, and she was knitting. Papa could actually remember that. Now, that's a side thing, but again, he says, now look at me. That body is long gone. I can't jump up and down like I used to. I have to take the stick. And he was using a walking stick. So these bodies, his mission, Srila Prabhupada, is to break this whole cycle of taking old garments away and putting a new garment on. And we never, ever get away from this birth, death, old age, and disease. Troublesome. Troublesome to us. It's a suffering condition. Some people say, oh, but we have so much in the United States. The United States is only trying to make life a little more tolerable. We should be able to understand what enjoyment is and what tolerance is. There is no enjoyment. There is only tolerance. Technology is trying to make life a little bit more manageable. A little bit more manageable. That's not enjoyment. The anxieties don't go away. That's why this place is called Kunta, a place of anxiety. Where Srila Prabhupada is trying to get us to go is called Vaikunta. No anxiety. Everything is provided. You walk out, 99% of the people after we all leave this place, whoever you meet, 99% of them you don't know. You don't know them. They are strangers. Do you know that doesn't happen in the spiritual world? Nobody is a stranger to anyone. Everybody knows everybody. Otherwise, the soul can't know everything. Remember, the soul knows everything. Therefore, everybody knows everybody. And everybody, nobody's in anxiety. So everybody really is enjoying. Everything is provided. Yet, Maya is busy trying to tell us that we are an advanced country and we solve problems, whatever, yes, problems come, but we can solve them. Therefore, it's okay to stay here. A big lie. It's a big lie. We need to remember this place, the material world, that is Krishna's prison. So no matter what we do here, we are still in jail. If we don't get out of here, we are in jail. What's the best thing a person in jail should hope for? Get out. Get out. So Srila Prabhupada is put a magazine out. The magazine is called Going Back to Godhead. Getting out of jail. So it doesn't matter what you have. A lot, a little, you're still in jail. So hopefully I do this. The first mantra is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Guess what my second mantra is? I'm in jail. Brexit, you're in jail. No matter what you do, you're in jail. You'll never be happy till you get out of jail. Get out of jail. Get out of jail. Get out of jail. Take the chanting seriously. Do what it takes to get out. That's all it, what it takes to get out. All that we hear in the scriptures, Krishna has done so much for us. He has spoken Bhagavad Gita, like he says here. Spoken Bhagavad Gita. He says, these old garments, you give it up, put new ones on, and you just keep staying here because you don't want to get out. It's our desires that make us want to stay here. Oh, we could do this and this, this and that. This can happen, that other thing can happen. In the meantime, countries are fighting each other. They don't trust each other. Even internally, politicians don't trust each other. Still, we say we're going to stay here. Why? I'm not asking you, ask your own self. Why? Why would I want to be here? So we are fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has given us the way out. All we have to do is take it seriously. And do it. That's all. So Srila Prabhupada says, change of body by the atomic individual soul is an accepted fact. Well, don't ask the Christians about that because they don't accept that. Unfortunately. Transmigration of a soul. We are fortunate to have it now. It's just been there for years and years and years. And still, some religions now don't want to accept that. So Krishna says, Sarva dharma parityaja, maham ekam sharanam vaja, aham tam sarva papevyo, moksha yishyami masu chaha. Bhagavad Gita 1866. abandon all varieties of religion. It is not transcendental. Krishna knows that the religions talk about God too, and He is God. And He still says, leave it, because the religions will not take you out of the prison of the material world. They would only take you if you obey what the instructions are. You will go to a minimum security prison. That's called heaven. We are in the medium security prison. And in the hell is a maximum security prison. But it's all prison. It's all prison. So, unless we get out, which is knowledge of transcendence and practicing transcendence, we will still be in a suffering condition. That's why Srila Prabhupada says, from Brahmaloka down to Pataloka, the lowest of the hellish planet, all are places of suffering. The anxiety doesn't go away. It's just that it's just a little bit less in the higher planets, and progressively gets worse and worse and worse when you go down and down and down. That's all. But we don't get out. So, transference of atomic, this is the problem, I guess, more technical here. Transference of the atomic individual soul, that's from one body to another body, is made possible by the grace of the super soul. So then he starts talking about the super soul, the individual soul, that's us, in the heart area, the real person. And then the other, who is the Lord Himself, Paramatma. And the analogy is given like two birds. So, Srila Prabhupada describes in other lectures, he says, there are two Purushas. Purusha Prakritista. That's us. The Jiva soul that is doing life in material world, trying to enjoy material things. And then the super soul, Anumanta, giving permission for the other one, the individual soul, to enjoy whatever they want to enjoy in the material world. And Paramatma is simply observing and allowing. And some people say, well, the Paramatma should know, he knows what's better for the individual soul. So why does the Paramatma allow the individual soul, especially, to do the wrong things? Well, in a sense it's complicated, but in another sense it's not. It's just a question of the individual soul having freedom. We have been given a little bit of independence to choose whatever we want. So if we choose to do the wrong thing, the intelligence will kick in through the mercy of a super soul and actually inform us it is the wrong thing. Now if we still insist we want to do it, then the Paramatma allows it, but it's like, see, Prabhupada says, all right, you do it, but you're responsible for the outcome of what you do. You're responsible for the outcome. So, suffering or enjoyment based on what you've chosen. So, as far as suffering and enjoyment goes, and this has been a little difficult for people, most people, to understand that. And I actually say I'm one of them, because it takes a while for it to register. So here's what I'm going to talk about. So there's happiness and distress. Both are here on this planet. Let's not even talk about other planets. It's here. We know only the Earth, the material world. So there's happiness and distress here. Who in their right mind prays for distress? Here. Nobody wants to, unless you're Queen Kunti, and that's what you're doing for a reason, right? So, nobody normally asks for distress. But distress comes. You don't invite it, it comes anyway. No matter what good you do, still, you face trouble. So, there is destiny, which includes some amount of happiness and some amount of distress. Now, the distress part is not difficult to understand. That's what we just talked about. The fact is, we don't ask for it, we get it anyway. That's part of life being in a prison. And a person that's out of prison does not, Vaikuntha doesn't go through any distress. But what about the happiness part? That's the part that's a little difficult to take in. Because we are told that if we struggle hard, we're going to be successful. And the success, whatever way is defined, most of the time talking about finance or a good job or business, that will bring us some happiness. Well, we know it's actually a little bit more managing life a little better. That's all. But even that, we prefer that, to be in a difficult situation financially. So Srila Prabhupada gave the analogy. Say we have 10 people They are all struggling for financial success. Let's just choose that, financial success. Everybody works very hard. All of them work very hard. Some of them become successful financially, and some of them do not. Why? They've all worked. You would think that, you know, everything being equal, if they work, maybe they should all get to some level of success. But some people don't ever get successful, and some people do. It's like some people don't get successful or become successful. Whatever they try, something seems to be working against them. So they don't actually get where they would like to get. So why is that? Well, it's not just even why. Srila Prabhupada used it to prove that happiness also comes just like distress also comes when you don't invite it. So he was saying that no matter what you think you want to do, if you're going to be successful, you will be successful. And if you're not going to be successful financially or whatever, you won't be. So that's the point he's making. Then I got to thinking about it, said, so some people are going to work hard and be successful. So some people put out things on the internet. See, you do this, you do this, you do this, you're going to be successful. You're going to get money. See, I did it. So here's the method. Put it out there and you pay some fee to get in and they show you how they did it. Some people will be successful and some people won't. Why do you even go so far? There's somebody who played the lottery. Millions of dollars. Did they raise a finger? No. They won. $50 million. Why don't they laugh? They didn't even have to work for it. So if it's going to come, it's going to come. And if it's not going to come, it's not going to come. So Srila Prabhupada's point is, happiness comes without being invited, even if you think we work hard, but actually if it's supposed to happen, it's when it happens. And if it's not supposed to happen, it won't. Distress also comes when you don't invite it. Therefore, what you really need to do with your life is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That one does not have any destiny stamped on it. If you put in the effort, you go back to God, and if you don't, you won't. So, he says, Ye Atamam Prapadyante, Tam Sadaiva Dateva Bijamyaham. To the extent that we surrender to the process, he rewards accordingly. So, tell you one story. There was a man, rich man. So, he was retiring, and he wanted to go to Vrindavan. God conscious person, wanted to go to Vrindavan. He had a family, wife, children. He was very wealthy. And what he decided to do was, he was going to leave the money with, and a lot of money too, with his family. And then he's going to go to Vrindavan. So his idea is, and it's not too hard for you, you can put it together, he wants to live a renounced life, not use much money. So then he told his family, send me 200 rupees a month, that's all. The rest of the money, his wife said, what about the rest of the money? He said, it's all for you. So whole family, you can have it. Only make sure you give me 200 rupees a month. So Srila Prabhupada put this example up, and he says, so this man is a miser. You may think he wants to renounce, but he's actually a miser, because he has given the bulk of his fortune to his material family and nothing to Krishna. He got the money by the mercy of Krishna, but he gives it to the material family and only wants to be in Vrindavan with only 200 rupees. So it's only 200. If he wanted to contribute anything to the deities there, he's taking it out of 200 rupees, even though he was a wealthy person. So then Srila Prabhupada says, all he's going to get from Krishna is 200 rupees worth of blessings. That's all he's going to get. If he had this much money, he kept it with the material family and only wants to come to Krishna with 200 rupees, and that's all. Tam Sitaiva Bajamiyaham. Whatever you give is what you're going to get. So that's a lesson for all of us. One, these bodies and this change of bodies business has to stop as soon as possible. Better with this particular lifetime, so that we can go to, not just Vaikuntha, but Goloka Vrindavan. See, the Prabhupada has given us a huge break, cut off chanting from 64 rounds to 16 rounds, so many other things we're putting in place, so that we just have to do it and do it sincerely, and especially stay away from apparat, offenses that ruins everything. Like my good Maharaj Bhaktivedanta Maharaj gave a lecture sometime, and he made it clear, he said, it doesn't matter that you chant 16 rounds minimum every day, obey all four regulative principles, it doesn't matter. If you offend, you do not go back to the spiritual world. You don't. Aparadhi Sunya Radha, life without Radharani. Radharani is mother of devotion. And sometimes we take each other for granted, but the transcendental system sees us, the Lord and his agents, they see us as the few people who turned to Krishna. The bulk of the population in this world have not turned to Krishna. They haven't. We are the few that have turned to Krishna. Therefore, we are seen as special. Krishna is equal to everyone. But that equal to everyone is like Krishna is a sunshine. The sunshine is his blessings. There are some people that have turned their heads away from the sun. What can he do? With the same intensity of rays that's coming, everybody has a chance. But those devotees who turn to face the sun, they get the blessings of the sun's rays. So Krishna is being equal, just a question of whether you want to take it or not. So those who are now connected with Krishna consciousness, we are actually the fortunate ones. But it doesn't end just there. Krishna wants us to extend the mercy to other living entities. So those who are open to it, directly or indirectly, some people just have to give them prasad, and that's as far as you're going to go with them. But that's still helping them to grow. And by the way, it's not just people that you can give prasadam to. The bodies are some human and some non-human. Even the plants, they also have souls, same quality as the souls inside us, human beings. So extend the mercy there. What do we mean? Well, when you cook and you offer to the deities, you offer to the deities, and after they finish, the Krishna finishes eating, then we eat the remnants. We call them Krishna Prasad. Every time we cook, we will have a cup of water along with the bhoga that we serve, right? So when the prayers is said and Krishna is finished eating, we take the Mahaprasad. The water is also Mahawater. Okay, we can drink it. We've been drinking it for years. So for us, we're fortunate. But the water is food for the plants. The water is food for the plants. So sometimes, rather than drink the water, if you pour it in the soil of the plant, now you bless the plant. The plant has no way of getting this. No way of getting this. Plant can't chant Hare Krishna. That soul is in the plant. And two sannyasis told me this, I checked, that when the Mahawater is given to the plant, that particular soul will take human birth the next life. The very next life. Now, plants, if you know the sequence, from the plant or tree body, normally they're supposed to go to an insect body next life, or reptile, insect body, and then to a bird type body, and then to an animal body before they become human. And maybe they may hear about Krishna, maybe they may not hear about Krishna. But if you give that water to the plant, that plant is guaranteed to take a human birth next life and start devotional service also. This is how much mercy, just for giving the plant water. So now it's a little cold, but when the weather warms up again, don't do only water. By the way, all the plants in your house should have Mahawater. They should definitely, if you haven't, then make sure you do that. When it warms up a little bit, right now the insects are not out there. But in the summer, they will be. So you take a little bit of the prasadam. Now you see, they don't eat much compared to us. So a little bit, go across the street, put it behind the tree. Believe me, they'll find it. The ants will find it. The cockroach will find it. Whatever it is, they'll all find it. And each one of them eating that little amount will in fact take birth as a human next life and start their devotion. This is as much mercy as you can give. And the secret is, the more you help other living entities, the more Krishna is pleased with you. The growth in Krishna consciousness depends on how helpful you are to other living entities. So the more you help, even including those ones that are not in human bodies, if you will help them, deliberately take time to help them with your Mahaprasad, a little bit of it, and also the water, Krishna will be so happy that he will help us out of the troubles, what we're struggling with, regulatory principles, those kind of things. This is where the purification comes from. Purification comes from Krishna purifying us. We cannot purify ourselves. We can't fight Maya on our own. It's impossible. So that's where the help comes. If we give more help. So yes, we know that we can give prasadam to other people. And the secret weapon, you can do it, the type of prasadam they like. If they're not into Indian food, you can give cookies, you can give all kinds of things that are offerable to Krishna. But if you go to the extent of giving even to those ones that are not in human bodies, and they're the ones that are really suffering. 8 million types of bodies, suffering bodies. 400,000 are human. So it's a total of 8,400,000. They seem like big numbers, right? 400,000 humans, that's a lot of different types of bodies a human can have. But when you look at those who cannot chant Hare Krishna, those non-human ones, 8 million. Now you do the math. Divide 400,000 by 8,400,000. That's just a fraction. 400,000 divided by 8,400,000 times 100 to get the percentage. 400,000, if you want to do it now, you can. 400,000 divided by 8,400,000. 4 with 5 zeros. Divided by 8, 4 with again 5 zeros. And multiply by 100. Somebody done it? I know the answer, but I know people are trying it. If you've done it, raise your hand and say what the number is. Yeah?
4.76.
4.76. 4.25% of all the human of all the bodies are human bodies. 95% are not. 8 million is 95%. So 95% of those in prison cannot chant Hare Krishna and can't go back this lifetime. They cannot. Now you understand why I say give them the Mahavada, give them this. They have no way of leaving the earth this time. They have no way of doing it. So if you're compassionate, let them have a little bit of the Mahaprasad practically every day. Make it your thing that you do whenever you remember. Give it to them. Because they are 95%. So people are really, when you say the entities, the souls, a lot of souls are really in prison. More than 95% of them cannot get out because of the kind of bodies they have. And then the about 5% that are in the human bodies, how many of humans are chanting Hare Krishna? Very few. In other words, they have the opportunity. It's a rare opportunity to be in this human body and not chanting. Therefore, if you haven't made it to 16 rounds, even though it's supposed to be 64 rounds, and now you made it 16 rounds, I think you're cheating yourself. You're among the less than 5%, and you have also heard about the mantra. Heard about the mantra and believe it, and would even come to the temple on Sundays. You definitely should chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So one final suggestion. So if you haven't made it to 16 rounds, it's already known that if you start something unusual, something that is not something you normally do, and you do it consistently for 3 weeks, it will become a habit. This is known. If you answer the phone with your left hand, try your right hand, and just remember to do it for 3 weeks in a row. After that, you will answer the phone with your right hand. It just become habit. So if you haven't made it to 16 rounds, and even if you chant just 1 or 2 rounds, all right, so this is November. You chant your 1 or 2 rounds at the end of November. December, go to 3 rounds. The whole December, 3 rounds. That's just 5-7 minutes extra time that you chant. January, one more round. February, another round. March, no, no, by the end of the year 2020, you'll be at 16. You will adjust, or just maybe a little bit after that. There are one couple that we suggested this in Pennsylvania, Harrisburg. Later on, they told us, same idea, intent increase around by 1 month, 1 month, 1 month. They went to 8 rounds and they decided, that's good enough, we're just going to go to 16. They just jumped right to 16, and now they initiated. But doing nicely, you know, in the Harrisburg Temple. Shri Prabhupada ki. So we read the text over again and open up for questions, and we stop at 5:30. It's about 5 minutes. It's 5:25 now. So here's the translation. As a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless one. Dehi no asmin dehe koma yavaram jara tatava vihantara prapti dhirastatana muhyate. Pretty much the same thing. The last term, the sober person is not surprised by the fact that a person just goes through boyhood and then all the way up to old age, and after that, then you transfer similarly, you go to another body. That's Bhagavad Gita 2:13. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
So are there any questions? Okay. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Hi, Krishna. Very nice talking.
Krishna's mercy.
You were talking about the soul and the super soul and how the super soul observes and does not interfere with the choices that we're making. But is there a point where the super soul will start to give guidance, and then how do we know that guidance is coming through? So
the guidance is always there. From within and from without. From without is from the spiritual master. So the guidance is always there. It's just a question of whether we want to hear it or not. And sometimes Maya's voice is a little bit louder than the guidance that we're supposed to get. Because that's Maya's operation. Maya operates in two different ways. One, Sri Prabhupada describes it. One is by keeping us in illusion. We talked about that without mentioning it directly. One is keeping us in illusion, and the other one is temptation, tempting us. The temptation part is what connects to what you're talking about. That you know what the right thing is, but then you're getting, but I should do this other, but you know what's wrong, but I just have a strong pull to do it. Arjuna questioned Krishna about that, and Krishna said it's only lust that pulls a person to do this. Yes, the intelligence is there to answer the question directly. There's always, always suggestions to go the right way, go the right path. Now, to take it, one of the things we can do, is you see, this is a physical body, and it's also the mind, is also just a subtle mind, it's all material. One of the things that I tell you what Sri Prabhupada did, and we can also use it. Sri Prabhupada traveled around the world. We know that. He traveled around the world. And the world has different time zones. In India, it's like 12 hours ahead. You know, in California, it's 3 hours behind us, or whatever, something like that. Now, what he did, and Harisari Prabhu is the one that said this, because he traveled with him. So when he goes to a particular country, he has to adjust immediately to the time zone, because unless he got there at night, everybody does, you know, whatever he's feeling, he's got stuff to do. They immediately want him to involve in some kind of darshan or something transcendental to do. Nobody thinks about how Sri Prabhupada's body is taking it. So what he does is, because of his mercy, he'd go along with it. And when he's finished with all the attention that the devotees demand that he gives, then he retires to the room that has been designated for him to stay. And so his secretaries, they all come with him to that room, and he looks at the time, and say it's 3 o'clock that time in that particular country. What does he do at 3? He has a set schedule from when he wakes up to when he goes to bed. So if it's 3 o'clock, if I have to translate or if I have to do this, he continues right at that time. So depending on wherever he is, or whatever the time zone is, when he arrives, he does whatever he needs to do as mercy for the devotees, and he retires to his room. He will continue based on the time, exactly what he does that time. In other words, he's that regimented. Even when he travels, he doesn't change. We don't travel very much. Not compared to him, we don't. Right? So what we're saying is, put down the schedule. Just like he did. Put down the schedule. And your material work, when you get up, when you have to chant and so on, put it on Excel. All the hours and everything added up to 24, your sleeping time after 24 hours. By the way, one of the wonderful thing about it is, you will not program Maya into it. Because you know what that means. You will not program Maya into it. You can actually get rid of Maya that way, being regimented in what you do. This time, add your work to it. You know, when you get home, when you go get groceries, you come, and this time, and so on, and finish adding the hearing and the chanting, definitely. Giving them ample time. So you do that, and you stay with it. Within 3 weeks, being steady with it, you wouldn't even need it. You would remember from one point to another what it is that you do. And from that, so that's another indirect way of answering the question. You will not do too many things wrongly that the super soul will have to help you. Because if you put it down, you'll do it. Bhakti Thirumal, same thing. He was doing it. Different times. So therefore, the prasadam had to get to him. He eats once a day, 2 o'clock. Because it's part of his schedule. It's part of his schedule. So it's all worked in. The times that he reads, the times that he writes, same thing. And I've seen other sannyasis do it. But Sri Prabhupada definitely was doing it. So we could also learn like that. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Okay. Grant Raj, Shrimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gur Pramanande. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.